Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Bruins have one game left on their three-game road trip. They will be in Winnipeg tomorrow night to take on the Jets. Actually, they're in Winnipeg now, preparing for tomorrow night's game against the Jets. And Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins joins us on the line right now. Hey, Patrice, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Nice timing, huh? I asked you to come on the show in the aftermath of losing 7-4 last night, right?
I know, seriously.
Look, these things are going to happen from time to time, but even your coach last night said there were too many passengers, too many guys not as committed to the performance as he wanted to see. Did you agree with him?
Yeah, I think we were all kind of, you know, we didn't perform the way that we should be, and we didn't play and they deserved the game. You know, we got back in the game. But that being said, you can't just get down 4-5-1 and then expect to make a comeback every time. Obviously, it's not going to happen. So a lot of things last night, we're trying to get to step three before, you know, finishing step one, meaning that, you know, simplifying our game and putting the puck deep and you know, really grinding it out and building our game from the ground up. And we didn't do that last night, and we paid for it.
Prior to the last two games, you had a 19-game point streak going. As that streak is going on, are you guys aware of it? Like, hey, this has now been 11 straight games that we've gotten points, mostly wins along the way, a couple of, you know, shootout and overtime losses. But were you guys aware of what was going on?
In a way, yes, because, you know, obviously it's kind of media was reminding us of it, and we knew that things were going well. Obviously, when you're winning, you get in a rhythm and a groove, and things are going well. So we somewhat knew. We didn't necessarily knew all along how many games it was, but we knew the whole month of February was a lot of fun. So we want to keep that going.
Patrice, during the course of your career here, you have been described by most as kind of a quiet leader. You lead more by example. But your teammates this year have described a Patrice Bergeron who's been more vocal, who's been more willing to say things both in the dressing room and on the bench. Has that been a conscious decision on your part to maybe change your leadership style a little bit?
I think that was overnight that I changed it. I think over the past few years, I've become more vocal, and it comes with experience and age, and you know, knowing that I've been through it and wanted to share that experience with the guys. And so I think as a leader, you always grow and you always learn, and that was just my way of I guess learning and finding ways to become a better leader. So, you know, I think we have even last year we have a younger dressing room, and I think for me it's important that I step up that way, where I need to be a little bit more vocal, and that's a role that I'm willing to take. And I'm obviously not alone in this. There's a lot of guys that are doing it, but it's been a lot of fun.
Now, one of the young guys on the team who has had a great season up until the most recent injury was David Pastrnak. Were you with him when he hurt his thumb? And if not, when did you hear about it?
No, I wasn't. I heard about it almost just a little bit before the press release was out. So I couldn't tell you anything more. I wasn't there.
How do you feel the guys have stepped up since he's been down? Because I think one of the thoughts was, all right, your best goal scorer goes down, the team may have trouble scoring goals, and that really hasn't been the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're losing a big piece like Pasta, I think everyone kind of rallies and tries to, I guess, pick up the slack, if you will. And it's, I think that's what happened. You know, we realized that it was probably one of our biggest offensive threats, and we wanted to, I guess, take over and find ways to to keep winning games. And I think we've done that, you know, even before in the past, earlier this year and last year. And we've had some pretty important injuries, and guys have stepped up and made a difference. So no different. You know, we'd love to have him in the lineup, but that being said, I think guys have done a great job of I guess picking up the slack and, you know, contributing and finding ways to win games.
We're talking to Boston Bruins alternate captain Patrice Bergeron. Last night, your line mate Brad Marchand reached the 30-goal plateau again. He's a guy with proven goal-scoring abilities. He's also got 55 assists this year, by the way. Now, outside of Boston, everybody thinks he's a jerk. Is he?
No, he's not. That's definitely the one misconception from that I hear a lot about Brad. And I mean, I guess I can understand people by some of the things that he's done, you know, on the ice. And, you know, he's an agitator and he wants to get under people's skin and kind of, you know, trying to find an edge on the ice. And he's a competitor. But that being said, you know, he's an amazing guy off the ice. And, you know, I said that before, he's a family guy and a family man and a great friend and a great teammate. People love him. He's always the life of the party and that guy that we rely on to, I guess, light up the mood and put a smile on our faces and you know, get ourselves going. So he's definitely a big part of our team.
That video that the Bruins tweeted out during warm-up the other night of Marchand with his little daughter on the other side of the glass, that's going to ruin his whole image, Patrice.
I know, but I mean, that's him, though. You know, that's who he is. He is a family man, and he is, you know, like I said, a great friend and great dad and a great person. So, I mean, it's like I said, sometimes the players are hated the most on the ice from opponents are usually the best guys and the best teammates, and Brad is obviously no different.
Another one of your teammates, David Backes, who, you know, earlier in his career was a 30-goal scorer, now is sort of transitioned roles a little bit. He seems to be one of those guys that's going to stick up for teammates and play that style. What have you made of his transition as a player?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's one of those guys that does so much for our team. You know, earlier we talked about leaders and vocal leaders. He's definitely one of those guys that is always going to share his experience. He's always going to have the right words and the impact that he has off the ice is something that often goes unnoticed, obviously, because not everybody knows about it. But, you know, for us as teammates, we definitely appreciate it. And on the ice, you know, he's doing his part, he's doing his job, and he's doing a lot of details that people don't see. You know, it doesn't rack up points on the score sheet, and people are going to, you know, point fingers at him for it. But if you look at everything that he does on the ice, and like you said, sticking up for his teammates and doing details and doing the right things and going hard and playing the body, and you know, it makes a big difference. It's a big impact for us.
The Red Sox win the World Series. The Patriots win the Super Bowl. Does that put more pressure on you guys in your dressing room? Are you thinking, man, we got to kind of keep this going here?
I don't think it should be pressure. I think it's a great challenge. You know, Boston has been a successful sports town, as we know, over the last decade, and it's been so much fun to be a part of it. And obviously, you want to join the fun here, and you wish to see it as a challenge and embrace it and go on there and just do us, you know, and do what we do, and just take it a game at a time, a week at a time, and go from there.
Do you pay attention much, Patrice, to the other teams? Obviously, Red Sox and Patriots are in their off seasons, or I guess spring training for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics, obviously, you guys, your seasons are pretty mirrored. Do you pay attention to that at all, or are you just all about hockey?
No, I keep track of the other sports and Boston sports, I should say, and it's been a lot of fun to obviously watch the Sox and the Pats this past year, and the Celtics are, you know, obviously a team that I try to keep up with the scores as well.
Do you guys think the Tampa Bay Lightning are beatable in the East?
Yes, I mean, if anyone's beatable. You know, it's one of those things where, and I mean, we've all been around for a while now in sports, and we know that you know, a playoff series is always about being in the moment and who plays his best hockey at that time. So it doesn't really matter what, you know, who you're facing. And obviously you have to respect every opponent. But that being said, you know, you can't just go out and go into a series and thinking that you can't beat them. Obviously, that's the last thing you want. And that's not the approach we're going to have, you know, heading into the playoffs. Obviously, you know, we know Tampa is not our first round matchup. So we shouldn't even worry about Tampa right now.
Earlier in the season, during an interview, Brad Marchand made a comment about how, hey, maybe Charlie McAvoy has been late to a few things. Was that sort of a message to send, and how has that been received?
Well, I think that kind of got blew out of proportion a little bit. I think it's one of those things where it's never been an issue, you know, with Chucky. I think he's been doing great. There's things that, you know, there's always going to be a learning curve for any young guy coming in, and to be honest with you, we're pretty lucky to have some great young players. So same goes with Charlie, and he's been obviously an amazing addition to our team on and off the ice.
I know you enjoyed playing for Claude Julien. You told me how much you enjoyed having him as your coach, but the fact of the matter is your offensive numbers have gone up dramatically under Bruce Cassidy. Has he changed the way you play the game a little bit?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm trying to play the same way. I think my offensive, I guess, abilities, if you want to call it that way, I think it's always been kind of there. But obviously, when you play with two great linemates, it's gonna help that way. So maybe, you know, Bruce is a little bit more, he wants us to create a little bit more and be a little bit more on the attack. But that being said, you know, I don't think Claude's ever taken that away from my game. You know, it's one of those things that's, it is what it is right now. And I have two great linemates and is helping me putting up some great numbers. So, that's what I attribute it to. It's to playing with, and being part of a great line.
Now, you guys play in Winnipeg tomorrow. You're already there now, so you're lucky to get a whole day in Winnipeg. Okay. What is there to do? What's the best thing to do in Winnipeg?
I'm not sure, actually. I haven't stayed in Winnipeg that many times, to be honest, since they're out west. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie, it's not warm right now.
No.
We're back in Canada. It's not that warm, so we're probably going to take it easy today and try to. I'm at the rink right now. We haven't practiced today this afternoon, so we'll do that and get ready for a big game tomorrow. So we'll probably go for dinner tonight, a nice dinner, and that's it. Call it a day.
Final question before we let you go. After last night's game, since the start of the 2013 season, you and Brad Marchand have combined for 26 shorthanded goals. That's more shorthanded goals than five other teams in the NHL have had in that span. Why are you guys so effective man down?
That's a stat I wasn't aware. I don't know. I think pretty simple. I just give the puck to Brad, and he does his thing, and he goes through three guys and deeks them and scores. So it's usually pretty easy that way. No, I think we're trying to read each other well. We're trying not to, I guess, sell the farm, if you will, meaning that, you know, we're still trying to defend. You know, that's the priority. But if we do have a chance, we're definitely going to go and take it and see the hole. But I don't know why. I think our chemistry has been so good over the years that we read each other really well, and I think that helps us with a man down.
Patrice, congratulations on your own season so far and how the team has done. Good luck the rest of the way, and we really appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Take
Patrice.
Care. That is Patrice Bergeron, alternate captain for the Boston Bruins, joining us from Winnipeg. It's a little cold in Winnipeg, Rich.
I would imagine.
I don't know if you knew.
But even the hockey guys all say Winnipeg sucks. It's funny when you hear interviews, they're like, oh, yeah, you go to this city and you can do whatever. Like, oh, you get a day early in Montreal or Toronto or obviously Vegas now. You're like, Winnipeg. Everybody hates Winnipeg.
I will tell you that in my experience when I used to travel around the NHL all the time, if you stand at the corner of Portage and Main, it's an intersection in downtown Winnipeg in which the buildings make like a wind tunnel. The corner of Portage and Main in Winnipeg, Manitoba, is the coldest place I've ever been in my entire life. Nobody stands outside.
Sounds miserable.
There's all these tunnels underneath the streets and stuff. That's where everybody goes.
Why do they have a team? I mean, they got it yanked away, then they got it back. Like, what? Why do they need a team?
Very rabid fan base up there.
I guess. They got nothing else.
How come you didn't let me ask any questions?
I thought, we ran out of time.
Kept, like, waving in the back.
No, we ran out of time.
Hold on here. Patrice, he's one more quick one.
One last one. Follow up.
I will remind people, based on what you just heard, and we've talked to Patrice on a number of occasions in the past, when he arrived in Boston as an 18-year-old kid, he didn't speak English.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
That's pretty impressive.
yeah, right.
And
a lot of people on this station that don't
speak
English. Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, English is his second language now, but he's pretty adept.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I would say so.
Rosetta Stone?
Also, the way his early career went, first few seasons, and with those head injuries, I think if you said
they thought
then,
for a while he might never play again. In the aftermath of the Randy Jones hit, he lost basically an entire season.
And to think that he was going to play 15 years with really no signs of slowing down. Like, it looks like 15. Like, if Bergeron plays 20 seasons in the NHL, would that surprise anybody?
No. He's gotten better.
As I'm saying.
He's been better the last couple of years.
Why doesn't he have a method?
He should have a method. Whatever he's doing, that is working. Whatever it is.
Fine glass of red wine.
PB37 would be great. I would follow that.
I would too.
It seems like it's working. Whatever it is.
Well, he has become a very beloved athlete in this town, obviously.
He's white.
That's it.
It is absolutely outrageous.
He's more popular than the other black players on the Bruins, I guess.
That is for sure true. He's 33 years old. And he's been
on the Bruins.
That's
a great point. The Bruins are the least popular team in town. And?
Good point.
They're the
whitest.
Exactly.
They're for sure.
Take that, Stephen A.
It's still crazy. He's been in the league and with the Bruins for 15 years, and he's 33. Like, that's happened. I understand it's hockey, and it's, you know, he's not the only player ever to do that, to break in at the NHL level at 18 years old and stay with one franchise like that. But it's still wild because it feels like he has many more good seasons left in him.
Why not? Play to 40.
Yeah, without question, I think he could play to 40.
He is the one lock on the roster right now, the lock whose number will be up in the rafters with those other ones. I mean, Chara might.
Chara probably will
maybe
be.
Even probably. Yeah. But Bergeron's a lock.
Bergeron's a lock. I would think Chara is. He's also been on the team for a very long time. The captain of a cup-winning team.
Yeah.
That alone should, I would think, get you consideration. Plus, he's been one of the best defensemen for this team.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I would
think
both
those
guys.
I would say he's been the third best defenseman in Bruins history.
Right, which is, it's almost impossible
when
to go higher than that.
When you're behind Oren Bork, that's as high on the list as you can get.
That's it.
By the time Park got here, he was a shadow of his former self
probably,
because of injuries and age. He's been the third best defenseman in the history of the Bruins.
Yeah, so that probably
which
gets
might get you up there as well.
Would. Yeah,
since the other two numbers are up in the rafters.
Yeah,
is he underrated?
Chara?
No.
Bergeron?
Yeah.
He has been in the past. That's really starting to change.
But I mean, like, superstar-wise.
No, I think, well,
I don't feel like he's a superstar.
Yeah, but how many NHL superstars
are
there?
Right.
Two,
yeah.
Three?
He's a great player.
They got like a baseball issue.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I think
he's
he would
Mike Trout.
Be.
You're like, he's so good, but you have to tell everybody he's so good because not everybody knows.
It's like Crosby Ovechkin, and they've been the superstars in the league for 15 years, and nobody else, the guys kind of pop up and like Patrick Kane, and then it's like, okay, not as much. But when Bergeron was on the first line for Team Canada, I think it was like.
With Crosby.
Right.
And you're like, okay, this guy's. How can you top that?
Right.
So they had a recent in The Athletic, they polled like 200 NHL players on a variety of topics, one of which was who's the most complete player in the National Hockey League? And Sidney Crosby was number one. This is the players voting.
Yep.
Bergeron was fourth. Among the players in the NHL, players in the league thought he was the fourth most complete player in the league.
Yeah, and so he's definitely respected by the guys in the league, but I think even people covering it realize, all right, this guy's been doing it for a long time. He's not going to go for 40 goals and 100 points, but he wins the Selke every year. He's on a good team. And now that you got him playing, and he's not going to say anything bad about Claude, but the reality is with Cassidy, they're scoring like crazy now.
Dramatically different with Cassidy than they were. And by the way, he loved Claude. He loved playing.
No, I know. And he won a cup with him, so he's not going to trash him, obviously. But you can't ignore.
Claude was defense first.
Yeah, right.
And not that defense still doesn't matter to Cassidy. It does. But he's saying, you know, don't be afraid to go.
Right. He clearly has skill. He was a 30-goal scorer when he was 19. So he clearly has skill, and Marchand has skill. When he's playing with Pasternak, that's as good a line as there is. And even when he's not, that line's productive. You know, when he's got Heinen playing with him, or really whoever else you want to put with him.
Can I throw something at you? Change topics here?
Throw it.
Sticking with some Bruins, though.
Throw it.
Mixing in some Patriots. I've had this little comp theory that I've had for a while. Brad Marchand and Julian Edelman. Two guys that are
very similar.
Little scrappy jerks who also happen to now become elite skilled, you know, Hall of Fame talk for Julian Edelman, Super Bowl MVP, and not the little pain in the butt rats that they were to sort of get their recognition. I think there's something
That's a good
there.
Comp.
Thanks.
And no,
my work here's done. I'll see you
Bye, Andy. Thank you.
My guess is, and I don't know this, but in Julian's case, outside of New England, do other teams just, what a pain in the ass that guy is. And
yeah, they probably play the kind of that edge that they play on, I think is similar. I would say Marchand probably ranks higher amongst wings in the NHL than Edelman does receivers in the league, but it's probably but still I think overall it's similar. And it's guys that if they're your absolute best player, you need somebody else
you're
with
not
them.
Good
right.
Enough.
Yeah.
I'll say this, I think Marchand has a reputation of being a dirtier player than Edelman.
Yeah,
I don't think Edelman.
I was gonna say Edelman's got a little of that too.
Yeah, but I think Marchand's been suspended five times. Yeah,
and it's a different sport, and there's more room for that
there's sticks and stuff.
Right, and then there's a line that you can toe and then cross sometimes and get away with it. Other times you cross it, don't get away with it.
Right,
I think football is a little more managed,
but their personalities are kind of similar.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think Edelman.
Oh yeah,
is a little bit more into
chirp
the
with the best. Of
say they're good at chirping. Yeah. Edelman's probably a little bit more Hollywood than Marchand is, but that's also football versus hockey.
Right.
And I mentioned the little video that the Bruins tweeted out the other night, and it's warm-up, and this little girl, cutest little thing in the world, is wearing her little 63 sweater, and it says Daddy on the nameplate. He comes over, and he's blowing her a kiss, and I'm thinking, there goes the whole reputation.
Yeah. Like, no.
But I've seen the pictures and videos of Julian Edelman
walking
with his
daughter on the field at like training camp.
Yeah.
The little girl walking down the stairs holding his finger. And he'd like you to think he's just a scrappy jerk, but everybody has a daughter or a soft spot. I think there's a lot there.
And there's
might
both
be a Nesson feature. Put it together.
There you go. Feature. And they're both like fan favorites, too. You know,
yes.
Like the way they play. Because they're both kind of undersized. And it's easy to root for both guys.
You can pretend you're him. Yeah. I'm 5'9", too. I can do that.
Not quite as quick.
I get that right.
617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
So before I get to what I really want to talk to you, we're talking about numbers in the rafters. Well, seeing that Tuukka Rask is now the winningest goaltender in Boston Bruins history. Will his number be up there?
If he wins a cup.
He's got to win a cup.
And that'd be my thing. I'm not the one voting on it.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about the elephant that hasn't been talked about that's in the room right now.
I talk about Andy Hart all day.
Torey Krug got benched last night. Did you not notice that?
We said it on the telecast last night.
I missed it. I missed you.
We said it on a couple of occasions last night, actually.
Well, you know what? I give Cassidy all the credit in the world for doing that. This has been going on for quite a while now with Krug, with the turnovers, and not being able to play defense. We have another puck-moving defenseman. His name is Charlie McAvoy. We have another upcoming one called Matt Grizzlick, okay, who both play
well. Matt
defense.
Grizzlick's hurt right now, unfortunately.
Right. I understand that, but for the future, we have two of them that can do the same exact thing, but play defense. This needs to be addressed in the off season, guys. That Torey Krug is a really big defensive liability on this team.
Yeah, but there are also few defensemen in the NHL who can get you 50 or 60 points,
know,
which is where he's at.
The power play.
You know, I understand the power play. Quarterbacks, the power play, but. You play 5-on-5 more than you do on the power play. And 5-on-5, he is god-awful. I'm sorry, guys.
I love the passion, Mark. Love it. Yeah, a -5 is a rough night there on the old ice.
And look, Cassidy does not hesitate. He benched him in the second period. Now, they're down a goal or two in the third.
Yeah.
He's their best offensive defenseman, so he's getting out on the ice more. His minutes got salvaged by the third period. He ended up around 20 minutes played, but he only played like 3 minutes in the second period last night.
Right.
Because Bruce Cassidy said, having a tough night.
Yeah, I would say so.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WE.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
The Red Sox win the World Series. The Patriots win the Super Bowl. Does that put more pressure on you guys in your dressing room? Are you thinking, man, we got to kind of keep this going here?
I don't think it should be pressure. I think it's a great challenge. You know, Boston has been a successful sports town, as we know, over the last decade, and it's been so much fun to be a part of it. And obviously, you want to join the fun here, and you at least see it as a challenge, and embrace it, and go on there and just do us, you know, and do what we do, and just take it a game at a time, a week at a time, and go from there.
Patrice Bergeron joining us a few minutes ago, and I'm not surprised that he said, no, it's not pressure, it's a challenge.
It's a
great challenge.
Yes.
I can tell you that in 2013, in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombing, the Bruins desperately wanted to be successful in the playoffs. They so wanted to help the city heal and to be there, and they were so disappointed when it didn't work out. Now, the Red Sox, kind of out of the blue, ended up winning the World Series that year, but the Bruins were so disappointed that they failed what they thought would have helped the city in that year.
Right. No, exactly. And, I mean, they went pretty far that year,
yeah.
You know, but obviously they didn't cap it off. But I still look back on, it seems like forever ago since they won the Cup. You know, it was eight years ago. Some of the marquee guys on the team are still there. Like the guy we just talked to, Patrice Bergeron, Marchand, and
Krejci.
You know, even Krejci, who was a monster in that whole series, and then Rask was the backup. So they have five guys that were a part of that team, and it just feels, because the Patriots have won multiple titles, the Red Sox have won multiple. Like, it just seems like so long ago, but they still have a handful of guys back.
You know what struck me from that interview that I wasn't allowed to take part in?
Yeah, you listened great.
I did.
You took notes. I noticed, which was odd.
Dale asked him if the Lightning are beatable.
And he's like, no.
No, but can you imagine Belichick, or like, if you asked Bill Belichick, are the Steelers even beatable? Like, he would undress you like the famous Michael Holly one.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And
that
just,
one,
you
yeah.
know, nice guy, hockey right. player, just kind of answers it. And we don't have to worry about them. They're not our first round
matchup.
Got
to play Toronto for...
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, just answers the question.
But
right.
the best team in the NHL, by far, by a big margin, is the team in their division.
It's a regular season, Dale.
I understand.
Postseason's a different beast. Playoff hockey, Dale.
Nothing better.
Gotta get the hot goalie.
Here we go.
That, now you know why we didn't allow you to participate. You were going there. 617-779-7937. Jay's in Brookline. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for the hockey talk. I had to get in when I heard that there was a little hockey talk going on.
Sure.
You're welcome.
So, love this Bruins team. And they just, I think once Pastrnak gets back and DeBrus gets back, they're going to be clicking on all cylinders. If Johansson can get off his injury, that'll give him three solid lines, and then that fourth line is a beast. And, Dale, like you were saying, Marchand, he's a softy. My daughter and I, she's 12, she's about to be 13. We take about two or three trips every year to on the road with the Bruins. He's the biggest softy. He'll come over and pose for pictures. He'll throw you pucks. That's all an act on the ice.
Yeah, he is. I will say this. The player that people see on the ice, he might be as diametrically opposed to that player as anybody I've seen.
But it's not an act.
That's how he plays.
When like he, ice guy oh, and no. nice guy. Yeah, they're two yeah, different yeah. people.
No, when he's playing...
That's pretty good. Ice guy, nice guy.
When he's on the ice, he is that guy. He is.
Right. The Players Tribune article that he did was fantastic, and it gave you sort of a look into how and why he plays the way that he does. and it's led to a lot of success. You know, it's also led to some suspensions and some fines and some things that he's not supposed to
and
do.
And by the way, knocking on wood when I say this, so far this year, he stayed on the right side of the line.
He's due.
He has, you know, he has approached.
How come you can say somebody's due, but I can't?
You can't. Oh, to draft wide receiver?
Yeah. It's all being due.
Yeah. No, I know, but I'm just saying every year there's something with
Marshawn.
He
has approached the line, but he hasn't gone over it this year.
Now, the last caller brought up Jake DeBrusk, and it was a Kevin Paul DuPont had an update that they think there could be a trace fracture. Because then the other day they said, oh, he might be back this week. And then it seemed like a little bit of a setback is what it sounds like.
I think it's what they thought it was originally, but okay. I also don't think it's a long-term thing. He's not going to play this week.
I hope not.
I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of next week he was back. I think you'll likely see Pastrnak next week. Because of the way they're set up here, I mean, they're almost positively playing Toronto.
Right.
They're just trying to maintain home ice advantage. Yeah. They're going to be very careful. They're going to make sure that Pastrnak is completely ready to go. They're going to be completely comfortable with how DeBrusk is feeling.
Makes sense. I mean, they got 12 games left, so hopefully they could play a little bit before playoffs start.
617-779-7937. Is it Adrian or Andrian?
Oh, Adrian.
Adrian, sorry. How are you?
What's up, Adrian?
Great. How are you guys?
Great.
Glad to hear you talking about Bruins, but you don't get enough of it.
No,
I just had a comment about Marchand. First of all, I think he's a great player. I love the personality. The league is lacking that kind of guy who you always know he's on the ice. And I think they've become a lot of ducks on the ice, which has made hockey less exciting than I remember it. But the thing about Marchand is we happened to meet him, me and my boys. My boys were about 7 and 9 years old for the Cuts for a Cause. And my son kept screaming at him from the audience, and he ended up jumping off the stage and running over and signing my son's shirt, which was on TV and everything else. They made a huge scene. Well, about a year and a half later, my son, the one he jumped off the stage for, my younger one, became very ill. And so I remembered, how Marchand had done that and how much that meant to Jaden. So I know the Pandolfos in Burlington, where my kids go to school, and I had said maybe he could drop him a card or something, or because she knows Brad. And what ended up happening was he sent a video to my son of himself in the locker room and talking about how he remembered him and how it was unbelievable. The video.
I'm not
a million stories like that.
I mean,
Marshawn.
Like I said, he's screwing up his image here. I mean, he's too nice
of a guy.
He likes the image he has on the ice.
Yes. He has that. And you ask a bunch of players around the league, and I think they don't care what he's doing off the ice because he's a pain in the ass on the ice.
Now, guy he goes low and undercuts.
Yeah.
Doesn't buy the story.
His most recent suspension was because he gave an elbow to the head of Marcus Johansson, gave him a concussion, in fact, knocked him out of the lineup for a long time.
Now they're best buds.
So then the Bruins go and acquire Marcus Johansson at the trade deadline, and Brad Marchand calls him on the day of the trade deadline and says, hey, listen, I just want to tell you, I'm happy you're here. I'm sorry about what happened. And those things that you'd expect a guy to do.
Right.
And Johansson said, gosh, I was surprised. He called me and welcomed me to the team. He didn't have to do that. That's kind of the way those things work. For instance, Michael Bennett and Greg Schiano are going to be best buds.
I disagree, Dale.
Within, days of...
we'll see.
I feel like...
Maybe not
No,
the same.
I feel like probably not.
Think they've talked yet?
No. Is Greg Schiano even on the staff?
I think he is. I think we're safe with that.
I don't think they've talked yet. Unless it was about Donald Trump.
Who
calls who? Yeah.
Schiano calls him.
Belichick does one of those three-way calls.
Conference.
Gets them both on there.
Greg, are you there?
Yeah.
Michael, are you there? Go ahead, guys.
Go ahead. Please enter your PIN and get in there. Yeah, I don't think they've talked yet.
Disregard the waves in the background crashing.
Why do you think that there have been no announcements about coaches here? Is it because Belichick wants all of them at one time and he doesn't have all the ducks in a row yet? So, I'm not going to announce Schiano today and then a week from now announce, the new linebackers coach.
Well, a lot of times they don't. They've not announced things more frequently than they've actually announced them. And one year that he announced him, he decided we actually sort of just had the story on Patriots.com. And, he said titles are fine, nothing wrong with them, but we're just looking to put together a staff. And it would not stun me. I've joked about this. If he ever decided, and I don't know if the league would crack down, just assistant coaches. And he just lists.
Just all assistants?
Alphabetically.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, so Skarnecki is down the bottom, even though he's the old guy.
Right, he's the guy.
You know, the new guy's up top. What? That's just what they do.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. I mean, Brian Flores got a head coaching job, and he wasn't even a coordinator, right. Technically.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
Half the time we find these things out when the media guide comes out or the first OTA.
But they had the fewest coaches in the league last year, didn't they?
Well,
or
sort of.
Whatever they said.
They don't name a lot of guys that other teams name. Like another guy will, other teams will list their quality control coaches.
Right.
Ours aren't listed. We have them.
So
there's
a whole
group of four or five of them that would add to the coaching staff. But I got to think the staff is set. This is a little late.
Oh,
to
it's
be
March
putting
13th.
Together a staff,
yeah.
Both NFL-wise and if you're pulling from, you know, I think they brought in a guy from college. There was a guy from Youngstown State.
Right,
that
those guys got to be starting
like,
their stuff.
They're all recruiting and spring football. Yeah. You can't just be stealing a guy off a college staff.
Well, you
so,
can.
Bill Belichick on the beach knows who his assistant coaches are. We just don't know who they are and what they're doing.
Right. He just doesn't apparently know about SPF 50.
Why, do you have a burn?
He got a little toasty there.
It's all right.
Got to be
know,
careful about
different
those
sun
things.
Down there.
A lot of vitamin D.
Different sun down.
Oh,
there.
It really is.
He needs
a
to drink
sun.
More water. He's like me.
Hot
Brady
sun.
Says more water.
Yeah, you
no
can't
sunburn.
Even get one. Can't even get a sunburn.
What else you got coming up in just a few minutes? Dale and Holly. Dale and Holly. Did you hear that?
Oh, that
wow.
hasn't happened in a while.
Wow. That's hurt.
I think you know a guy.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what it was? I was thinking.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Gives you an idea of where we are in life. On ESPN2 right now, Andy Hart and I were just watching the Kyler Murray Pro Day at Oklahoma. And my Keefspiracy is that Oklahoma accumulated like 8 wide receivers who are all 5'7".
Just surround him with little guys walking around.
Yeah,
is that a hornswoggle? You're like, he's just walking around.
Wow, look at how big
Kyler Murray's huge. Because he did not get measured. He did get weighed. He's 205 pounds, undisclosed height. And right now he's throwing the ball around to some of the Oklahoma receivers.
He didn't get measured because he wouldn't.
He would not get measured.
It's not like they said, look, we're not going to measure you here. He said, no, I'll weigh,
right.
But we're not measuring. Which, I'm sorry, that sets off all kinds of alarm bells for me.
Yeah, that's what we said at the time because there was that one scout that accused him of heightening, and we tried to figure out how that was possible. Incomplete pass, by the way. And we were talking about how could you possibly heighten? And they said, well, when he has his pro day, and if he doesn't get measured, just something to keep an eye on, and lo and behold, does not want to get measured.
But what does it matter?
It matters
he's
a lot.
He's short.
Yes, he is.
Is he 5'10 and a quarter or 5'9 and three quarter? He's short.
Maybe it shouldn't matter, but
it
for some
shouldn't.
But it does.
Why?
They're going nuts about it.
He's shorter than his coach. Who's standing there with him.
They listed at 5'6".
They just had a trainer come out with a water bottle and give him a drink. He's shorter than the trainer.
Yeah, you got to get little water boys. You need to get tiny little water boys out there. Make him look bigger
than
he is.
Bringing new football players for everything.
He's the smallest guy on the field.
Oh, in the building.
In the building right now. Counting fans, children.
He better be an offensive lineman, that guy.
There's a bunch of campers from middle school are all taller than him.
Look, that's the trainer. Look, the guy with the water bottle.
12-year-old girl in the background.
She's taller.
Towers over him.
Holy smokes. He's got to put some lifts in. Get some of those Dr. Scholl's. Put those puppies in for the heels.
So he's a Jordan guy, huh?
Prop you
Jordan
up a little bit.
Pro Day shirt.
Oh, yeah. He's going to do fine.
All right.
He's got the Nike shorts on. He's already got his contract, right?
Any chance he doesn't go number one to Arizona?
Well, it's funny because they said the Giants are scheduled to talk to him as soon as this Pro Day is over.
Yeah.
So that if he doesn't go number one, does he fall to the Giants? I think they're at five.
Six, I think. Yeah, they were talking about maybe taking Haskins there at six. So I still think it. Now, do the Cardinals also need to make sure they get a trade for Rosen? Otherwise,
you can have two quarterbacks.
Yeah. Sure. Steve Spurrier style?
Yeah, rotate them.
Doug Johnson and Jesse
Palmer.
You get
the second quarter, see how it goes for the third.
Every other play.
Do you want the Patriots to go after Rosen?
No. I don't really think it makes sense.
I don't like Rosen either.
I don't care. It's not whether I like him or don't. Tom Brady, we talked about earlier, I think we all expect is going to sign an extension. Continues now to, or is reinvigorated to, play till 45. So what do you do with Rosen? 1 year's done on his contract. He has four left.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady plays four. Plus, he's already played.
Yeah.
You know, he played last year. So he thinks he's an NFL player, a starter now.
He does not want to come here and back up
right.
Tom Brady.
So I don't think the timeline makes sense anymore at all.
All right.
Why is there porn music in the background?
What else you got?
I don't know
got?
That we would have called it that necessarily.
I don't think that's
very
what it is at all.
What things, else you got?
A couple of things we didn't get to, Andy, throughout the course of the program. I'll start with this one.
All right.
Chickens at a poultry farm in northeast France are suspected of killing a fox that tried to sneak into their coop.
What?
The fox,
chickens killed the fox?
Wait. The fox is thought to have entered the hen house dusk last week, became trapped inside the automatic hatch that closed down. Students discovered the fox's body the following morning. There in the corner, we found the dead fox. There was a herd instinct. They attacked him with their beaks.
Oh, no. This poor fox.
Oh, I love this story.
I don't. The fox chicken, are very attractive.
Well, the fox went into the hen house.
They
to
are.
Eat
they think they're
the
striking.
Chicken.
Yeah, well, that's what fox do.
Yeah, well, guess what? Chickens defend themselves. Chickens.
That's a good story. That's
I
a
like
lesson
in life. No, it's not.
That's
like
a metaphor
nice
for life.
It really is. Strength in packs.
What there else
there
you
is
got?
Strength in packs. That is definitely true. So, obviously, the big story yesterday was about Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky.
They're trying to get their kids into school, spending a lot of money to do so, not exactly on the up and up. Well, because there are a million episodes of Full House, something like this was addressed. Because you remember, Aunt Becky and Uncle Jesse had twins.
Yes.
Remember, they had the twin boys.
Nikki and Alex.
Nikki and Alex. They were trying to get them into preschool. And this is what Aunt Becky had to say.
It's just that I just want the best for my little boys, that's all.
Sweetheart, I know you want what's best for them, but you know what? Maybe the fast track isn't it. I mean, Nikki and Alex are normal, healthy kids, and whatever track they're on, they seem to be doing okay.
Maybe I did push this preschool thing a little bit.
No.
I mean, maybe Boughton Hall isn't right for our kids.
Well, you know what? When they're ready to go to preschool, we'll find the right one and we'll do everything we can to encourage them.
Everything we
can. And pay $500,000 to make sure they get
it. $500,000.
So my youngest daughter lives in San Francisco, and she's got a friend out visiting for a few days from here. And so yesterday they said, in the aftermath of all this news, let's go see the Fuller House house. It's there in San Francisco. I've seen it when I've been out visiting. So they go there. And they're going to get a picture outside the house.
All the news crews?
It's completely, like, torn apart, under construction.
Really?
They've already thrown Aunt Becky out
they're
of her home.
They're tearing it down?
They have already said, Becky, you got to go.
Fast-paced
like
world.
That's a landscape out there. They're going to get rid of that thing?
Landmark.
Landscape.
Landscape.
It's a landscape. It's a landmark.
I
People
saw
go
it last
there all the
year.
Time.
I went there last year and saw it.
Jeez.
But it's all, you know, now once Aunt Becky got the cuffs put on her, they said, okay,
yep,
start tearing down the facade.
They got her today, by the way. That was the update. They got her.
I don't think
can
they put
give
cuffs
us a minute
her.
Here, Rossi? I mean, we're not done
Could
yet.
You just calm down, Jason, for God's sakes.
Jeez.
We got to say goodbye to Andy Hart.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold the door.
It's your birthday today.
Sandy!
I only want Andy Hart to guess.
Sandy?
Yes. Whose birthday?
Sandy.
Sandy Alomar Sr.
I got Sandy Valdespino.
Good one. Sandy Koufax.
Andy, I'm waiting for your guess.
Sandy Beach.
Happy 30th birthday to Sandy Leone.
Wow. Oh, I did get it.
The greatest Red Sox catcher in history.
Bullock. 30 years young. Sandy Bullock.
Yeah.
Sandy Bullock.
You just called a landmark a landscape. You have no right to criticize me.
He's thought the show was over. We're still on?
We haven't got a button to hit. Andy, we'll see you later. Thanks.
See you, boys.
OMF is coming up next after we say goodbye.
For stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you. For stopping by!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.